the Midnight Radio Network. I'm Eric Harley. Gary McNamara is off. Be careful. I've been doing math. I said math, not meth. Okay, you know what? Someone's going to hear that wrong. Math, as in calculating. As we do Ask the Law. Ask the Law, a special edition, as we have a brand new hours of service rule announced on Thursday, as we predicted, thanks to our friends over at thetrucker.com, who had an inside source and told us that this was going to happen on Thursday the 22nd. It did. We are here with retired senior trooper Monty Dow of the Texas Highway Patrol, a service of Old Blue USA. You should know all the information is up to date as of today. December 23rd, 2011, can change without notice. That includes the answers to any questions and comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only, and here is what we have. before the top of the hour, you said something, and I went, what? Because it was one of those where you've gone through 212 pages. Thank goodness you did this. It was announced, by the way, about an hour before I was going to sleep, and I had been up way too long at that point anyway. But you went through the 212 pages, and there is, as always with any rule, there's some methodology here. Whether you agree with the methodology or not, they have taken, right now, under the current rule, you could actually, a driver could actually get in 82 hours in a 7-day period, technically.
Yes.
Okay? So then, in that case, they have now changed the rule to bring that down to 70. You actually can only get 70.
Correct.
On duty hours.
Correct. That's line 3 and line 4.
In a 7-day period or 168-hour period.
Yes.
Okay, and that's important because they will count the hours.
Yes.
You made a point that this rule also now will require drivers to carry not 7 days of logs, but 8.
Yes.
Okay. And again, it goes into effect July 1st, 2013.
Correct.
Voluntary compliance can happen, you know, I guess, what, anytime?
Yes, 60 days after they publish it in the Federal Register.
Okay, they can then companies could try and start working this math themselves in real time.
Yes.
All right, so, and with this 34-hour restart, going back to something I teased earlier, you made the point that a lot of these operations, were the feedback was coming back saying, you know, they're only using the 34-hour restart. In fact, they're technically not using the 34-hour restart. They're taking advantage, I guess, of that provision, but they're going home anyway once a week, and they're actually, most of them are staying home longer than 34 hours.
Right. In reading the 212 pages, some of the comments that FMCSA made was that a lot of the drivers are using the 34-hour reset to simplify the old method of adding a day, dropping a day, the recap.
Right.
And what they did was, if a driver prior to January the 4th of 2004, if you were not a driver at that point in time, then this is something that you're going to have to learn to do, because now then you're going to have to keep a record of the number of hours that you have for the last 7 days.
Okay.
Because if you don't keep track of them, then chances are you're going to get yourself in trouble, because you're going to be over the 70 hours in this 168-hour day or period.
Right, right.
So drivers are going to have to go back and learn to recap now.
All right. Now, in this case, because you and I were talking, and you said something, again, that makes sense, because if you're talking about dropping that 82 down to 70, where a driver can technically right now work a total of 82 hours in any 7-day period,
provided there's a 34-hour reset thrown in there.
Right. They now are, now it will be limited to 70.
Yes.
Okay. Now, does this mean, if we're doing the math here, you could stay under that 70 in a one any given 168 hour period.
Yes,
you could stay under that 70 simply by working no more than, say, 9 hours and 45 minutes a day.
Correct.
That's total on duty time.
That's total duty time, driving and on duty, not driving.
And you could stay under that clock and never be required to take a
24-hour
restart.
Correct. And one of the things that I was reading in some of the comments that FMCSA responded to was that the industry themselves submitted comments that very few of their drivers on the road utilize a 34-hour reset.
Right.
Most of them use it at the weekend when they are home.
Right, right.
And so most of them usually will stay within the 70 hours in a 168-day, 160-hour period. So there's no need for a 34-hour reset.
All right. Now, I read in one of the articles today that this really would have a greater effect on the long-haul operations.
Yes.
Do you see that in your calculations?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because, obviously, the long-haul operations have more on-duty time. Their operation is stretched out. And
in fact, one of the things when my son and I were talking the other day, we were discussing, and by the way, he is not a DOT official.
No. He is a law enforcement official,
yes,
but not DOT.
And so we were explaining, and I was explaining to him, and I said, typically, the highways that I worked, I would see a lot of carpet going from Georgia to California.
Mm-hmm.
And once they got to California, then they would take and spend a lot of time picking up produce and then running back to the East Coast with the produce. Well, those guys would utilize the 34-hour reset once they got out to California, because typically it would take them several days to get their produce lined up before they headed back. Well, under these provisions, under the final rule that's issued today, they will not be able to take that 34-hour reset while they're waiting to get all of their loads lined up. Another comment was from the livestock haulers, and they were saying that this 34-hour reset was going to take and penalize them.
Right.
Some of the comments that FMCSA submitted was that under current federal regulations, livestock haulers can have the livestock on a trailer without having to offload them for water and rest and whatever up to 28 hours. So what that does is that will allow them to get from point A to point B and still stay within the within the regulations of keeping the livestock on the trailer.
All right. And so how does that affect the driver in that time, that 28-hour period of keeping the livestock on the trailer? I mean, are they charged with on-duty time, or what are they charged
with?
Well,
what they'll do is they'll sit there and do their normal run.
Right.
Very seldom are you going to find someone that's going to move livestock, you know, more than several hundred miles.
Right.
Now,
right,
occasionally you're going to find the people that haul the racehorses.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they're, you know, because they'll run from racetrack to racetrack to racetrack.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, depending upon the racing season, you could have them in the East Coast at some races there and then have to ferry them out to the West Coast.
Right.
But most of them do not do the turnarounds that you're going to find a lot of the people that are hauling the produce would do.
Right. 800-288-9227. We're going to go to a break, and we've got drivers on hold right now that want to ask a question. So stand by. We're going to get right to your questions next. It is a special edition of Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network.
Have a holly, jolly Christmas.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley here. Gary McNamara is off. It's Ask the Law special edition for this December 23rd, 2011. All the information is up to date, can change without notice. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Back to you in a moment. A couple of other things that they have kept from the NPRM, and something you just mentioned to me, which I think is kind of cool. You can take 2 hours of your 10 hours off duty,
correct,
and use it in the shotgun position.
Correct.
You can ride shotgun up in the with the other driver, which I think is great because it provides support for that driver. You know, just the dialogue that goes on, the conversations, the company, keeping of company. But it has to be either right out the first 2 hours of that 10-hour break or the last 2 hours of that 10-hour break.
Correct. So, in other words, if you're riding in the jump seat and you get pulled over, then they're going to ask for your log,
yeah,
and they're going to look to see were you, did you just complete your 11-hour driving,
right,
or 10-hour driving if you're a teen.
Within the last 2 hours.
Within the last 2 hours, or did you just come out of an 8-hour sleeper berth break?
Right.
If so, then you're good to go.
Right. So your first 2 hours or last 2 hours, and remember, it's or, not and,
right,
of that 10-hour break, you can spend right there riding shotgun. So
right.
I think that's great. We're going to talk more about hours of service here in just a few minutes and some of the other details as we try and get to as many questions as we can. Midlothian is where we go next, and that's where Mark is. Hi, Mark. How are you?
We're doing fine. I got one comment for you and then one question for the trooper.
Okay.
The question is that it going to affect oil field in any? Supposedly, we have a provision where you can get a 24-hour, after 24 hours on the field, a restart, or mechanic 10 also. And then also on the comment was, I was hearing the statistics day before yesterday on the radio station that airplane pilots, the cargo ones, they're exempt from carrying logs.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I don't know a lot about the FAA regulations, but Mark, we'll give you the answer. Just turn off your radio, and we'll give you the answer here on oil field. Where do we stand? Because there was something about oil field workers in the NPRM. Where is that?
Nothing really changed for them.
Okay.
They still get to claim off-duty at a well site.
Okay.
If they're having to wait.
In the intrastate drivers in Texas, because we do have a lot of them that listen on our flagship station, WBAP, if they're intrastate, are those oil field exemptions different than the federal exemptions?
No. Okay. They're the same.
All right. Okay. All right. Because that would be confusing.
Yes.
Those oil field exemptions always confuse me. It doesn't take a lot to confuse me. Shiny objects confuse me. But it gets very confusing when you talk about that. My brother is in that line of work, and it's all Greek to me. Going back on the 14 hours.
It stays the same.
It stays the same. Now, the NPRM had you working somehow a one-hour break within that 14-hour drive time or on-duty time. Somewhere.
Well, what they did was in the NPRM, they still kept the 14 hours, but you could only total 13 hours of either driving and or on-duty, not driving.
Right.
So what they've done on the 14-hour rule is they left it just like it is. The only thing that they added was you are required to take a mandatory 30-minute break.
Okay.
Now, that break is from the last off-duty period. Total, you're driving and on-duty, not driving. And if you go more than 8 hours without stopping to take a 30-minute break, then you're in violation of that rule.
Okay. All right. So, essentially, you go 8 hours on duty, and then you're going to have to
stop and take a 30-minute break.
Take a 30-minute break. There's an exemption for those who drive and haul for the Department of Defense, certain explosives, because they have to stay with that load.
Right. There has to be surveillance under 397.5. They can log it as on duty, not driving.
Right.
And show surveillance in the remarks section.
Right.
But if you are someone other than a hazardous material carrier, you have to go off duty.
More in just a moment on the Midnight Radio Network.
I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day, on Christmas Day. I saw three ships come sailing in on Christmas Day in the morning.
On Christmas Day in the morning.
It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Carley here. Gary McNamara is off. Merry Christmas to you. This is the song that really gets everything going for me on Christmas morning, because the only thing you'll hear in my house is Nat King Cole, the Christmas song album, and this one right here is just it's true greatness. Everything about it, the production qualities, his voice, of course, which is what makes it, and it's just, you know, for me, a tradition that I'm glad I started. For me, I just enjoy the daylights out of it. And glad that producer Cheryl brought it to the program as we continue Ask the Law for December 23rd, 2011. All the information to answers and all the answers, rather, can change without notice. And we want to let you know that comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. AskTheLaw.org. And thanks to Old Blue USA for making this a very informative year. Still learning some stuff here with Trooper Dial, and we're glad you're here with us. 800-288-9227. As we get back to you, we will go to Oklahoma City, and that's where Tim is. Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Welcome.
Couple quick questions. I lost your radio signal as I'm driving. Would you repeat the 8-hour and a 1 hour break? Is it after 8 hours of line 3 and 4 you have to take a 1 hour break?
No, it's line 3 and line 4.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Yeah, if line 3 and line 4, once you come out of a rest break, you cannot, line 3 and line 4 cannot total more than 8 hours before you have to stop and take a 30-minute break.
And it has to be off duty.
30-minute break, okay.
Right, 30-minute break.
Yeah.
Okay. My other question, quick question is, I run electronic logs, and occasionally, you know, the truck will break down. I have to get a rental truck and go to paper logs. Say, for instance, I was to get pulled over and DOT'd inspection, and I only have, you know, 3 or 4 days of paper logs, and all the rest of my logs are on the electronic system in a different truck.
Wow.
What do you suggest on that?
You need to get a printout.
So when that truck breaks down and you have to get to a rental,
yes,
get a printout before you get in that cab of that rental.
Yeah, you're going to have the previous 7 days printed out.
Yeah. Okay.
That's interesting. What a dilemma for those guys who are running. I never thought of that, but
yeah,
you often do.
Right.
Truck breaks down, you got to go to another. So you're there, and I don't know. I don't know what the availability, Tim, is of getting a printout. Is that something you can do? Where do you see that document?
I drive at night, and everybody in my office is home in bed, you know. And
You're gonna have to call and wake somebody up.
Yeah.
And somebody's gonna have to go to the office
and download
them and fax them to you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only way to do it.
But would the officer give me that opportunity to do that, or?
Well, you should have done that. You should have had him fax it to where you're going to pick your rental up at.
Yeah, again, that was a point of, before you get in that rental, before you leave the old truck, get those papers in your hand before you leave that truck behind and get into the new rental.
Okay, that answers my question. I appreciate you guys. Love your radio show.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Tim, and Merry Christmas to you. 800-288-9227. We will go to Jessica in Dallas. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Welcome.
Okay. We haul cattle, and it's 28 hours that you're allowed to get from basically loading to unloading.
Correct.
Okay, well, if it's 105 degrees outside and you can't really keep these cows in the trailer for a solid 8 hours or however long you're supposed to be off duty, because you'll have dead cattle. So how long are you, how are you supposed to break the times up to so that you won't have any dead cows? I mean, you know, so they don't have to stand on the trailer any longer than they have to.
I sympathize with you, Jessica. But
he has a cattle ranch. That's why. That's why he supervises.
But in reading the 212 pages, FMCSA took the point that under the and I don't remember they gave a section number, but I'm sure it has to do with the livestock portion of the federal regulations. But they were saying that 28 hours, you know, once the cattle are put on, 28 hours later, you have to offload them, give them a break, water, feed them, whatever, if the trip is going to take longer than that. They did not address, and here in Texas, it does get hot.
Yes.
So, yes, it's something that... The cattle industry is apparently doesn't see it's not in a priority for them.
Wow. Well, and all of this is going to have to be worked out. It basically the logistics of moving livestock is going to change.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So don't know how that will work, but all of this will take place between now and July 1st, 2013. When this rule goes into effect, Jessica.
Okay.
So,
be sure and remember, none of this applies until July the 1st, 2013.
That's right. And there will be plenty of lawsuits between now and then, so this is going to get interesting.
I don't even have any cattle left in Texas.
Well, you know what? With what we lost in the drought in this last year, who knows? If we don't get more rain, you may not have to worry about this. May not be your biggest problem. So, yeah. Thank you, Jessica, and Merry Christmas to you. We appreciate it. 800-288-9227. We are back in a moment with our remaining moments with Trooper Dial on Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network. Merry, Merry Christmas, baby. It's the Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley here. Ask the Law for Friday, December 23rd, 2011. All the information and answers to questions are up to date as of today, can change without notice, and comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial are considered to be opinions only. Listen, if we don't get to your question this morning, tons of calls coming in. If we don't get to your question this morning, please go to askthelaw.org and submit your CMV question by clicking on the big red button that says email Ask the Law. So you can send them an email. They will get it out to an official and get the answer back to you as soon as possible. Keep in mind, it is the holidays, and so the process is probably going to take a little extra time. We will now spend some time with Victor in Springfield, Missouri. Victor, you're on. Good morning.
Yes, sir. I'm just a local driver down here with a bottling company. This last year, passed my physical, no problems. Went in to get my yearly checkup this year, and the doctor... believes I may have sleep apnea and wants to do a sleep study. How will that affect as far as keeping my, you know, my physicals up to date and all that? What hoops am I going to have to jump through if I do come back with sleep apnea?
Well, what'll happen is when you go in, if the doctor says or suspects that you have sleep apnea, most of the time, what the doctors are doing is they're giving you a month, 2 month, or 3 month medical card.
Right.
And referring you to a sleep study expert.
You go
in and complete the study based upon the findings that the study determines. If you do have sleep apnea, typically right now most everybody is going to the CPAP machine. And what you'll need to do is get one of the CPAP machines that has the record keeping requirements. And then what you will do is you will take that back next year or 2 years, depending upon what the doctor gives you. They will look at it, and if it doesn't show that there's been any significant changes, then they'll continue on with the program that you're on.
Okay. All right. But as far as like my current physical, I'll just go on with it until it expires pretty much then? Or would I have to re-up that to stay in compliance with anything?
Yeah, if his current physical is right now is good and has not expired.
Yeah, if the current one is expired, expired.
Even though his doctor has given him the directive to get a sleep study.
Right, right.
He's okay. He's still okay.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
That's what I need to know. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Victor. We do appreciate it. And we'll go to Aaron in Fort Worth next. Hi, Aaron. How are you?
Yes, sir. Good. Speaking on that sleep apnea.
Uh-huh.
If the company has issues with that, they can bring that up also. But my question is for Trooper, the question is if you split your work driving and on the dock with your 14-hour driving time,
mm-hmm.
your 10-hour layover, how does that compare with working the dock?
It's still going to be 14 hours. You have a 14-hour clock, and in that 14-hour clock, no more than 11 of it can be driving. So if you do some dock work, you do some driving, you do some dock work, it cannot be more. Now, obviously, you can work longer than 14 hours.
That's what I'm getting at.
The only problem is you cannot drive
more than the 11.
Once you reach the 14th hour, you can no longer drive.
Yeah, you're done driving, and then.
But you can keep working.
Right. But that total, that goes into your 70 hours.
Yes.
Yes, sir. So if you start your work week over, your 34-hour rule winds around. Then after you've had your 34-hour downtime, as far as dock time, if it's a union dock, what is the maximum amount?
168 hours. Now, this is under the final rule that we've been talking about tonight.
Yes, sir.
You will only be able to take let me back up, because read something a while ago. There's nothing in the regs that is going to prohibit a driver from taking multiple 34-hour off-duty periods. The only thing is the driver is going to have to denote which one of the 34-hour breaks you are using to reset your 70-hour clock.
Okay. Yes,
so
sir.
As an example, if when I was talking with Eric earlier, the driver that hauls the carpet west and then the produce back east, if he gets out to California and they don't have his loads lined up and he has to sit there for 34 hours, he can count that as a 34 hours off duty. But if he counts that as his 34-hour reset, then what they're going to do is they're going to go back 168 hours from that, or they're going to move forward 168 hours and determine was the driver in violation of the 70-hour rule.
Yeah. So,
hey, Officer Dow, or Trooper Dow, as far as the 34-hour reset, if you just work on the dock, what are the hours consecutive?
There is no limit.
Yeah, if you're not driving.
If you are not a driver,
yeah.
They can work you as long as they want to.
Yeah, Aaron, thank you so much for the call. We do appreciate it. We're just out of time this morning, and obviously you'll be working with this, and we'll get you as much information as possible in the future. Trooper Dial, thank you for all your hard work this year, and thank you for your dedication to the drivers, and have a very Merry Christmas.
Same to you.
Go to askthelaw.org, submit your CMV questions anytime. Click on that big red button that says Email Ask the Law, and they'll get your answer to you as soon as possible. It is Ask the Law on the Midnight Radio Network.